So Matthew 6:19-34 is all about true religion. As opposed to hypocrisy in the first half of the chapter, what does a devoted Christian life look like? Jesus says, well, it looks like this. It looks like storing up treasure in heaven, which, as we saw, you do by being generous, by giving away what you have on earth, and by valuing things that will last into heaven, people and relationships and good deeds. And then it looks like not worrying. And we saw that last week. The third thing, though, that true religion looks like is this, verse 33, seeking first God's kingdom and righteousness. And this really is the Christian's top priority, according to Jesus. Jesus says, listen, you know, he's not one of those preachers that says, if you only take away one thing, take away this. But when he says, do something first, he's signaling to us that this is important. This is Jesus' own one-sentence summary of how to live, how to flourish, how to succeed in this world and the next. And what does he say? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things being food, clothing, drink, all the things he was just talking about, those will all be added to you. Those are all on the side. It's like C.S. Lewis paraphrased this then as, aim at heaven and you'll get earth thrown in. A buy one, get one kind of deal. Seek one, get one. Seek heaven, you'll get heaven and you'll get earth. And this command from Jesus to seek first the kingdom has no exceptions. He doesn't say seek first the kingdom unless you have to castrate a calf. Unless you have to write an essay or a brief. Unless you have to get those papers graded. Whatever your daily activities might be, they must fit under this umbrella command of seeking first God's kingdom and God's righteousness. Well, how do we do that? Well, we're going to learn to do that by looking at the different elements here. What is the kingdom? What is God's righteousness? What does it mean to seek God's kingdom and righteousness? And what does it mean to seek them first? And what we'll see, basically, is that obedience to God's rules and expansion of the people over whom God rules, so more obedience and more subjects, that's our goal. That's what we're looking for. More people obeying God more. Seeking first the kingdom and righteousness. Well, how do we know that? Well, what is God's kingdom? Seek the kingdom. What is the kingdom of God? It's not just a territory, not just a place. It's dynamic. Probably the best paraphrase is God's rule. Something a little bit abstract. God being in charge. Seek that. Seek to have God in charge. Now, what does that mean? Well, we can think about this. Again, that's such a big statement. I've broken it down into intensively and extensively. Seek God being in charge intensively, more obedience to God. And extensively, more people obeying God. So under intensively seeking more obedience, we should be seeking more obedience as individuals. If you're seeking God's rule, as expressed in God's rules, then you will be seeking to obey God more. God says things like, honor your father and mother. Don't commit adultery. Don't tell lies. And if you're seeking God's rule, then you will seek to obey those things. You can imagine that if I ran a football team and if I said I want a coach to run this team, you know, if I was seeking a coach, Or if I was a football player and seeking a coach, and the coach comes to me and he says, run right. And I say, no, I'm going to run left. Would I really be seeking a coach at that point? No. If you're seeking God's rule, you're seeking to do what it is that God's rule tells you to do as an individual. But we shouldn't be satisfied with just individually obeying God. I obey God for myself. Well, that's a good start. But institutions are called to obey God as well. And that's a big focus in our culture today, institutional righteousness. This coffee shop practices fair trade. In other words, we're a righteous coffee shop. We don't grind poor people in the dirt by trying to get coffee at bargain basement prices. That's part of what you're paying for when you buy their coffee, is their institutional righteousness. But as Christians, that is something we should seek. And we should seek it. The first institution in which to seek it is our families. As a family, you need to be seeking God's rule, seeking to obey God's rules better. Now, how do you do that? Well, Ephesians 5 and 6 describe what a godly family looks like. Colossians 3 and 4 describe obedient families. It's all right here. The Apostle Paul took time to instruct families on what family godliness looks like. We should be seeking to obey God as churches. You know, it's easy to think, well, we're a church. That means we're all about serving God, right? So therefore, whatever we do must be seeking God's kingdom, right? Not really. It's very easy for a church to get sidetracked and to be seeking its own aggrandizement more than anything else. We're seeking to have the best church building in town, best Sunday morning show, best parking lot. All these things that may or may not have anything to do with the kingdom of God. Well, God tells us, say, in Ephesians 4, what a godly church looks like. A church that submits to God's rules is all about people getting more mature. People becoming more like Jesus. That's why the church exists. And these other things, parking lots, Sunday morning shows, are there strictly for the sake of helping people mature. And so if your church has become, you know, the largest landowner in your nation, at the time of the Reformation, the Roman Catholic Church owned more than a third of Europe, more than two-thirds of some countries. That's not why the church exists, to be a landlord. Church exists to seek more obedience to God's rule. So look at Ephesians 4 that describes a godly church. Or 1 Thessalonians 1 describing an obedient church. Well, as businesses too, we need to seek more obedience to God's rules. That means running an ethical business, treating your employees correctly, not ripping off your suppliers, your vendors, your clients, your customers. And again, there's a great deal of material in the Bible on business ethics. It kind of boils down to having a just weight and a just balance. You say you're selling a pound of something, sell a pound of that. Don't adulterate it. Don't water it down. Don't make it less than a pound. Be honest in your business practices. As societies, our whole society needs to be more obedient to God's rules. How do you get there? Well, you can't separate it from the individual and the other institutional aspects. If you say, I personally want to disobey God, but I think my nation needs to be more obedient to God, guess what? You're part of the problem. Your nation will never become more obedient to God's rules if you insist on being able to break God's rules when you feel like it. Now, political change, sure, there's some role for that. Cultural change, where we produce cultural products that people love, sure, some role for that. But ultimately, as a society, we will only become more obedient to God's rule when more individuals become obedient to God's rule. It's a matter of revival. And that leads then, really, directly to the extensively part of seeking the kingdom. If we want the kingdom to come with greater intensity, then we need it to expand extensively. The first way to do that, how do you seek more subjects for God's rule? How do you seek to have more people obey God? Well, where it starts is, again, individually. What am I personally doing to extend the kingdom of God? How am I helping someone else submit to God's rule? Well, the first way you do that is with prayer. God, give me opportunities for evangelism. God, pour out your Spirit on this city and help the people here to be converted. God, save people in Gillette. Save people in Wright. Save people in Campbell County and Sheridan County and across our state of Wyoming and so on. If you aren't praying for people to come to know Jesus, then you're not seeking first the kingdom of God. Because seeking the kingdom of God is not just seeking greater obedience for yourself. It's seeking a greater number of subjects for that kingdom. So pray, and then as you have opportunity, evangelize. What is evangelism? It means telling someone news. Did you hear that the United States inaugurated a new president 2 days ago? Well, probably everybody you know has heard that news. But maybe not everyone you know has heard the news that God sent his son to deal with the problem of sin. Now, is it easy to do this? Not really. Does Jesus warn us in the next chapter about doing it right? Absolutely. We're going to look at that next Sunday, Lord's willing. Verse 6 of chapter 7. Do not give what is holy to dogs, or cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Evangelism can be dangerous, and you can get hurt, and if you're doing it wrong, Jesus says, it's kind of your own fault. But nonetheless, he tells us that we do need to share as we have opportunity to tell the news that Jesus came. That's seeking the kingdom. That's seeking the extension of God's kingdom. And then institutionally as well, we seek more subjects of God's rule. One way to do that is by planting churches. Churches are little outposts of the kingdom. Churches are places that officially declare, hey, we exist to help people submit to God's rule and to increase the number of people who do submit to God's rule. That's what a church is. As a church, we're all about what? Worship and witness. We worship God. We come together to worship God, and then we witness, we say, hey, I've seen something. Well, what have you seen? Well, I've seen the power of God that took me, a wretched person, and saved me and forgave my sins and made me better, made me kind and loving when I used to be angry and bitter all the time. We're witnesses of that. A witness is just someone who's seen something. You don't have to say anything you don't know firsthand if you're a witness. In fact, you're not supposed to. Don't tell me what you heard so-and-so say. Tell me what you saw, what you heard. So, we're witnesses, and as a church, we witness. Some of you have been called to be church planters and have labored at church planting for years. Some of you may be called to be church planters and may labor at it in the future. But all of us are called to pray for and support church planters. and those who are working to build churches all over the world. Some of them we call missionaries if they're in foreign countries, but they're the same thing. Church planters, and we support them prayerfully, and as we have opportunity, we support them financially. And then ultimately, the goal, the big target Jesus sets out at the end of Matthew, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey all things, whatever I have commanded you. Baptize them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. What do we call that? The Great Commission. And that's kind of the end game of this kingdom expansion, where we seek the extension of the kingdom, and what that ultimately looks like, Jesus says, is the discipling, not just of individuals, but of nations. Whole nations devoted to godliness. Whole nations devoted to obeying God's rules and seeking God's kingdom. Now that's a task that's, of course, far too big for any one individual, any one local church, any one denomination. That's the responsibility of the entire church. And Jesus promised in that Great Commission that he would be with us as we do it. But to say it's the responsibility of the entire church doesn't let you and me off the hook. Well, the whole church needs to do it, therefore that means somebody else needs to do it. No, the whole church does it by the whole church each doing a part. The whole church bringing the whole gospel to the whole world. That's the vision. That's part of seeking God's kingdom and God's righteousness. A huge task, of course. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. That's why this starts individually, proceeds through the smaller institutions, families, churches, businesses. And then the end goal is the nations submitting to God's rule. So that's God's kingdom. Well, what's God's righteousness? Jesus says not just seek God's kingdom, but also his righteousness. Well, God's righteousness takes two forms, and I have those there on the outline for you. Justification is God's righteousness as gift. The Christian message is not just you need to obey God more. That's certainly part of the message. But it's not the whole message. The whole message is you need to obey God more, and you can, because God sent his Son to die the death you deserve for disobeying God, and to live the perfect life you can't live and haven't lived. And God will give you the righteousness Jesus earned in your place and make it possible for you to start to live a righteous life. That's the Christian message. The message is not just be good, do good. It's you can be good because Jesus was good when you weren't. You can seek God's kingdom because God gives you his righteousness. That's what we call justification, wherein God freely pardons every one of our sins and accepts you personally as righteous in his sight. He looks at you, you know, we might call you Joe, and he says, Joe, you're acceptable to me. You're clean, you're perfect, you look good. Come on into the kingdom. That's justification. What did Joe do? Nothing. He just sat there. God justified him. God declared him to be righteous. We were watching Shakespeare last week. Lord Chancellor, his own wife is condemned for witchcraft. She asks him, hey, you're the Lord Chancellor, save me. And he says, I cannot justify whom the law condemns. Sorry, honey, the law condemns you. I might be the Lord Chancellor, but there's nothing I can do about it. To justify her, in Shakespeare's usage and in the Bible's usage, would be to declare, that she's not guilty, that she never actually practiced witchcraft. The Lord Chancellor can't justify whom the law condemns. But God can. That's the Christian message. The law condemns you, but God justifies you. God declares you to be in the right after all, because of what Jesus did in your place. That's justification, God's righteousness as gift. But we should also seek God's righteousness in the way of sanctification, in the way of becoming more holy, the way of becoming more saintly, we might say. Sanctus, Latin word for holy, turns into saint and into sanctification. God's righteousness as task, to become more like God, to obey His rules better, is the work of the Christian life. Jesus talked all about it in chapter 5. Here's what you need to do, and how do you do it? We've said over and over and over again in this series, the way you become more holy is by spending time with Jesus. That's sanctification. How do you become more saintly? Well, you have to try, absolutely. But trying alone is never going to make you saintly. You have to be with Jesus. You spend time with Him. You talk to Him. You listen to what He has to say in His Word and what He has to say through sermons to you. You pray to Him. You sing to Him. That's how you become more holy. That's how you seek God's righteousness as task. Because when you know Him, you'll want to be like Him. So that's what we're looking for, the kingdom and righteousness. And there's one word that describes what we do with these things. We seek them. Seek God's kingdom. Seek God's righteousness. Now, what is searching? Well, looking for something. Those of you who have been in Sunday school have heard the illustration taken from Stephen and Peter's Lego collection. This Lego collection, by some accounts, is enough to fill this entire room. Maybe not that big. And you can imagine seeking a particular red helmet that you want in this Lego collection. If you want that helmet bad enough, you'll pick every Lego one by one from one pile into another, trying to find that thing you're looking for. That's seeking. Or it's like the time when my grandfather got a check for tens of thousands of dollars. Back in the 1970s, when tens of thousands of dollars were worth something. Somebody on the cleanup crew, one of his daughters, threw it away. Well, Grandpa went out. He tore apart every last bag of trash in the dumpster until he found that check. Why? Because it was worth finding, right? None of us has ever gone out to the dumpster and torn it apart looking for last week's potato peelings. None of us will ever go out and tear the dumpster apart looking for last week's newspaper bag. Those things aren't worth finding. That little red helmet might not be worth going through your entire Lego collection for. But Jesus is saying, the kingdom is worth it. Seek God's kingdom. Be absorbed in searching for it. This is an ongoing task. You're looking for the kingdom. You're trying to find greater obedience to God's rules. You're trying to find God's righteousness as gift and God's righteousness as task. That's the business of your life. You're searching. You're exerting a persevering and strenuous effort to obtain. Or through your entire life, you're saying, this kingdom, I want the kingdom. I want to submit to God's rules better, and I want to see more people submitting to God's rules. That's what I'm looking for. You know, it should be somewhat obvious. We've all seen the person who's doing this, and you say, What are you looking for? The person is obviously looking for something. Well, as Christians, we should be visibly looking. You know, the kingdom of God is not on the floor or in the pulpit, but it is out there, so to speak. It's a state of submitting to God's rules. And we should be looking to do that in a visible way. Now, Jesus says, seek God's kingdom and righteousness. And he tells us when. When do you seek the kingdom and righteousness? Well, the answer is seek first. Seek first God's kingdom and righteousness. Well, that's why we call it the Christian's priority. Priority, as you know, is literally something done first. This is prior to that, and that's prior to that. Prior means before, and a priority is something done first. Now, for most of us, top priority for the day, the thing we do first is get out of bed. Or maybe wake up. You can't get out of bed until you're awake, but you can't do anything else for the day until you're out of bed. But is seeking the kingdom something we can do before we get out of bed? Is that what Jesus is saying? I'll put this on the schedule, 10 minutes of pre-rising seeking the kingdom. No. Though a priority is literally something done first, to make God's kingdom your priority means scheduling the kingdom first, more or less. That's the most important thing to you. That's the thing that overwhelms, that trumps anything and everything else. What's most important to me in my day? God's kingdom. So what does that look like? Well, as I've said, you want to be getting to the place where you are fully submitted to Christ individually, where the institutions in which you participate are fully submitted to Him as institutions, and where more people and institutions are becoming subject to Him. That vision, that world, needs to be your priority and my priority. You know, why do we have priorities? Well, it's because things that are done second or third or fourth or fifth might not happen. Well, yeah, it's a low priority to clean the furnace room. Sure, what does that mean? It's not the first thing you do. You do it when you've done 40 things that are above it on the priority list. The kingdom of God shouldn't be number 5 or number 10 or number 18, where after you've done X, Y, Z, you'll get to seeking the kingdom. Jesus says it has to be first. Your top priority. The thing that you do before you do anything else. But here's where the difficulty comes in. Because seeking the kingdom is not an item that's commensurable with other items on your schedule. In other words, you can't say, well, during a typical day, I'll spend about 8 hours working, a half hour commuting, 20 minutes walking the dog, 2 hours watching TV, 3 hours talking to my spouse, and then the rest sleeping. Or you can't add to that, and I'll spend 30 minutes seeking the kingdom. I'll spend an hour seeking the kingdom. I'll be really, really pious, and I'll spend 4 hours seeking the kingdom. That's not what Jesus is saying. Seeking the kingdom is not an item among other items on a to-do list. You might have seen the cartoon with the caveman, and he has a to-do list for the day. Item number 1, hunt. Item number 2, gather. Hunt or gather. But you can't say number 1, seek the kingdom. Number 2, get to work on time. That's not what this is. Rather, seeking the kingdom is something that runs in and through and behind every activity on your schedule. Why do you go to work? Because you're seeking the kingdom. Why do you get out of bed? Because you're seeking the kingdom. Why do you spend time one-on-one with Jesus? Because you're seeking the kingdom. That's the idea here. 100% of your time needs to be kingdom time. Not 10% or 20% or 50%. It's 100%. And that means that everything you do has to relate back to seeking the kingdom. The reason you're doing it is because you want that kingdom. So your daily goal has to be more obedience and more subjects. More obedience for yourself and for other people, and more subjects of God's rule in total. Every day, everything you do has to relate back to this goal of obeying God more and having more people obey Him more. How do you do that? Achieving that goal. How do I get to the place where everything in my day is related to obeying God more, having more people obey Him? Well, certainly you're going to have to use a schedule. And if you don't plan to do this, you won't do it. I know that all of you know how to use schedules because you have jobs and you're here. You're able to put stuff into your day and say, okay, on this day, on Tuesday, this has to happen. Nothing else might happen, but this has to. And that's what you have to do with the kingdom. You have to put God into that schedule first. That's really what prioritizing the kingdom means in one sense. If you just say, well, I'm going to live a life that's indistinguishable from my fellow Americans who don't know God, but I'm doing it because I'm seeking the kingdom, you're missing something. If you're really seeking the kingdom, that will impact, I dare say that will change what you do. So that how you spend your time doesn't look exactly like how the typical non-believer spends his time. So putting God into your schedule first, you know, a priority isn't necessarily something done first, the way we use it, it's something scheduled first. Yes, to get here this morning, you had to get up. But you got up at a certain hour, you know, let's say I need to be at Sunday school at 9, which means breakfast needs to be happening by 8, which means I have to be out of bed by 7, which means that I have to be in bed by 10 on Saturday, which means that I can't go out on the town on Saturday night, which means that I can't start that long movie at 9 on Saturday night, which means that I can't, and so on. What did you put in your schedule first? You put in your schedule first, I'm going to be at church at 9, or I'm going to be at church at 10. And then working backwards from that, you said, okay, certain things are going to have to go. And if you're really serious about seeking the kingdom, that means you have to put into your schedule time with God. At church, one-on-one, as a family. And I know you all do that because you're here, because I've asked you about this. But this is encouragement that Jesus is saying, yes, keep doing that. Those efforts are not in vain. That is part of your job as a Christian, to say, I have to be with God because what I want more than anything is to obey His rule and seek His righteousness. And you can't obey His rule or seek His righteousness unless you spend quality time with Him. And so in your schedule, you put time with God, and other things give way to that. Well, if I'm going to spend time with God, I guess I can't go to that show, watch that program, see that person, whatever it might be. So put God into your schedule first, but then once you say, okay, I've spent time with God today, don't think that the rest of the day is yours. Jesus is saying 100% of the day belongs to God. It's all His. Your whole day is God's, and therefore everything you're doing has to pass the test of, does this activity further God's kingdom? Why am I doing this? Is this helping me submit to God's rules? Is this helping me seek and find His righteousness? And if the answer is no, it needs to go. According to what Jesus says about the Christian's top priority, seek first the kingdom of God. Prioritize the kingdom of God. But when you do that, what do you get? What's your reward? Well, your first reward is the kingdom itself. What is God's kingdom? Romans 14, 17, at the end of the order of worship, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Three benefits that you can't get anywhere outside God's kingdom. You can't buy righteousness on Amazon. You can't find peace at Walmart. You can't purchase joy from BMW, though they try to tell you that you can. These things are spiritual benefits that come only, ultimately, from God's kingdom. But Jesus says, not only do you get the kingdom, seek the kingdom and you'll find the kingdom, but you'll also get all these things. You'll get food, you'll get clothing, you'll get drink, you'll get the things that the Gentiles want and need. Aim at heaven and you'll get earth thrown in. Seek first God's kingdom and righteousness. Seek God Himself. Seek to submit to His rule. And you can do all this because of Jesus' righteousness. You can do this. Jesus didn't just say these words. He actually died so that you could do this. He says, seek the kingdom. And then He shows us what seeking the kingdom looks like with His whole life. And He empowers us with His Spirit to actually do it. So ask Him for help. Say, Lord, You told me to seek the kingdom. Help me seek the kingdom. I want Your kingdom. I want Your righteousness. I want to obey You. I want Your righteousness as gift and Your righteousness as task. Help me to prioritize Your kingdom first, to seek for it. Pray this, and these other things will be added to you. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we praise You that You gave us this teaching on the Christian's top priority. We thank You that You showed us what a life lived dedicated to the kingdom looked like. We thank You for proclaiming the good news of God's saving rule. And we thank You that we can seek to submit to that rule, that we have been brought into Your kingdom and liberated from Satan's kingdom, and that now in gratitude we are free to serve You, to rejoice in You, to have Your righteousness as gift, and to seek Your righteousness as our task. We thank You for this mighty promise that all these things will be added to us. Help us to live for the kingdom, Father. Help us to seek it first, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.